This weekend, we continue our preaching series entitled Called. Last weekend, we focused on the vocation of marriage and family life. This weekend, we focus on the vocation of religious life. We're going to talk about the call to a religious vocation in the church, how one discerns a call to religious life, and how we can support religious vocations. Let's start, though, by defining the word vocation. The word vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. This word originated in Christianity. You see, the early Christians realized that Scripture was full of stories of men and women who were called by God to do something special, not for themselves, but for others. The best example of a woman called by God, of course, would be Mary. And good examples of men called by God would be the first apostles. But God still calls people today. For example, Padre Pio and Mother Teresa, both saints in our time. The idea of a vocation, a call, is central to our belief that God has created each person with gifts and talents oriented towards specific purposes and a way of life. In the broadest sense, love is the fundamental and innate vocation of every human being. Each of us who would call ourselves Christians are called to love. We are also called to share our unique gifts and talents in our work life, our family life, our church, and our civic commitments, and for the sake of the greater common good. My brothers and sisters, each of us has been called by God to play a specific role in His plan for our salvation. Let's focus for a moment now on the vocations in the church. There are three: the laity, consecrated life, and ordained life. The laity. It's made up of men and women, either married or single, who are neither ordained nor vowed religious. The laity makes up the majority of the Catholics in the world today. It is by our baptism that we have become adopted children of God, part of His body, the church, called to be holy, called to be light shining in this world of darkness. And there are many lay organizations like the Knights of the Columbus or the Holy Name Society. And there are many lay ministries like Eucharistic Minister, Lector, or Cantor, that provides avenues and opportunities for the laity, the body of Christ, to participate more deeply in their faith. And today, perhaps more than ever, there is a need for greater supervision, oversight, and administration in the church by the laity. The second one, consecrated life. Consecrated life is made up of men and women who are called to follow Jesus in an exacting way, characterized by a public profession of vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. You see, from the very beginning of the church, there were men and women who set out to follow Christ with greater liberty and imitate Him more closely by practicing their vows. They led lives dedicated to God, each in their own way. And by virtue of her authority, the church accepted and approved these groups. Consecrated life may be lived in either institutes, monasteries, or individually, while those living it are either clergy, if ordained, or lay people. The state of consecrated life is neither clerical nor lay by nature. And here at St. John's, we are blessed by the presence and ministry of the Sisters of St. Joseph. There are also third-order religious groups for those in the laity seeking perfection in their own state of life, orders like Our Lady of Mount Carmel or the Order of Servants of Mary. The third one, ordained life. A Catholic priest is a male ordained minister in the church who gives his life in total service to the church. Priests embrace the gift of celibacy and commit to a life of prayer. They proclaim the good news, teach the Catholic faith, minister the sacraments, work to build up their local faith community, and lead the faith community in worship. Most priests will minister in a parish setting, while others may serve as chaplains to universities, hospitals, prisons, and the armed forces. The sacrament of holy orders creates the hierarchy of deacon, priest, and bishop. So now, let's talk about the call. First of all, it's important that you answer the call. I played that sound for a reason. And I know when I grew up, that was the sound that a phone made. I don't know how many of you recognize that sound with all the ringtones today, but that's the sound it made when someone was calling you. As you know, the topic of our preaching series is called. And I used that sound of a ringing phone as a prop, something to help get your attention, but I'm also hoping that the sound of a ringing phone, I'm also praying that the sound of a ringing phone will become much more to each of us today. So how does one discern a call, a vocation to religious life in the church? I want to start off by saying something you've probably heard already, but it's important that we say it. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I wanted to start off with that because oftentimes we don't answer that call. We don't answer it because we don't feel that we're worthy. And if that's you, if that's where you are, then know this, nobody is worthy. And if you feel that you And if you feel that way, that you're not worthy, then you're exactly where you need to be in your discernment process, and you need to answer that call. But how do you know it's not a wrong number? That is where discernment comes in. And I want to start off talking about discernment on a personal note. I felt called to the diaconate years before I took the first step in the process of becoming a deacon. You see, I had a yearning in my heart, a little feeling of emptiness, a sense that something was missing in my life. I noticed, though, that after spending time with Scripture or after attending Mass or going to confession, I always felt better. I moved closer to God slowly because I was afraid of where He might be leading me. I was happily married with children and gainfully employed, and I did not think that I had neither the time nor the energy to take on any service in the church, let alone the diaconate. So I began helping out at my parish. My wife and I did sponsor couple program. We taught religious education. Over time, I became a Eucharistic minister and then a lector. I found that I loved reading Scripture. But not just reading it, proclaiming it here at the lectern. And it was then that I discovered that the desire of my heart was to proclaim His gospel. You see, I had slowly fallen in love with Jesus. It was then that I knew that God was calling me to proclaim His gospel. And in 1998, I was accepted as a candidate for the diaconate, and in 2003, I was ordained. I answered my call to the vocation of married life 45 years ago. It hasn't always been easy, but God has been with us. We have 3 children now and 7 grandchildren. I answered my call to the diaconate 20 years ago, and I've been ordained 15 years now. It hasn't always been easy, but God has been with us. That yearning in my heart, that feeling of emptiness, is now gone. But that's not to say life is easy. But today there's a joy in my life that never before existed. I know in my heart that my wife and my children and the diaconate have made me a better Christian man. And that what I gave up for these vocations is nothing compared to what I have received. Okay, so how did I discern this vocation? At a high level, I invited God into that process. And my discernment was not so much in my head as it was in my heart. Here is what I would suggest to anyone who is discerning a religious vocation, or any vocation, even marriage life. Talk to people you respect about that call. Be open with them and listen to what they have to say. In the quiet of your heart, talk to God about that call and listen. Ask our Mother Mary to help you ponder these things in your heart. Be patient in trusting God. Don't make any quick decisions or changes in your life. Wrestle with God. Ask him, why me and why now? Ask him for a sign. I've often done that, and I've often received those signs. Lead a holy life. Read scripture, go to confession, adoration, mass, and consider going on a short retreat to spend quality time with God. If you do these things, and if it is God who is calling you, then you should realize a sense of peace, joy, happiness, and maybe even excitement. Perhaps even you will experience God's presence. You may still be anxious about the process or your worthiness, but you will be ready to move forward. Finally, let's talk about how we can support religious vocations. First of all, parents, don't be afraid to talk to your children about a religious vocation. And if they're interested, encourage them to consider thinking about it and put them in touch with a priest or a vocation director. Pray for them during their discernment process. But unfortunately today, parents do not always encourage their children to answer the call. For all of us, if you notice a young man who for some reason you think would make a good priest, tell him. You see, more often than not, God speaks to others through each of us. If you're able, provide financial support for our seminarians, many of which desperately need this assistance to complete their vocation. Also for all of us, if someone talks to you in confidence about their call, keep it confidential. Let them share that information with whoever they want, but don't let them find out that you're telling people about it. Just be open with them and pray for them. And finally, like we do every Sunday, pray for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. In closing, my brothers and sisters, let me leave you with these thoughts. Just like the prophets and the apostles who went before us and who faithfully witnessed to Christ, we too have been called to be witnesses, faithful witnesses to Christ. This is the vocation that each of us shares. But what does it mean to be a faithful witness? Simply this: whatever we do, we are called to do it in the service of God. Whatever we do, we are called to do it to the best of our ability. Whatever we do, we are called to do it as if it were God who we were doing it for. For example, some of us are married. Being married in the service of God means that it's not good enough for us men just to be husbands. We Catholic husbands must be the best husbands possible. We must serve God by serving our wives. We love God by loving our wives. We must empty ourselves for our wives. We must always put our wives first. And the same thing applies to Catholic wives. Catholic wives must be the best wives possible. They must give themselves, not just to their husbands, but to God too. They serve God by serving their husbands. Some of us are parents. It's not enough just to give life to a child. It's not enough just to sustain that life. Catholic parents must be the best parents possible. and have been called not only to serve each other, but to serve God through their children. They must give their lives for their children. In this way do Catholic parents serve God, who created these children with them. They must be the first teachers of their children in the ways of our faith. Most of us work, and as Catholic workers, we should be the best workers. No matter what job we find ourselves doing, we must do it to the best of our ability, because everything we do is in service to God. That means if you're a priest, you serve God by serving those who have been entrusted into your care to the best of your ability. If you're a doctor, a nurse, a teacher, a mechanic, if you're a student, a stay-at-home parent, a part-time employee, or even a volunteer, whatever we do, we must do it to the best of our abilities, because we are doing it in service to God. You see, I use that sound of a ringing phone earlier as a prop, something to get your attention. But it's my prayer that from this moment on, for the rest of our lives, that each time we hear a phone ring, it will serve as a reminder to each of us that we've been called by God. It is my hope that from this moment on, for the rest of our lives, that each time we hear a phone ring, we will think about our unique calling and say these words in our heart: "Here I am, Lord, send me." You see, we have to be reminded often that we've been called, to be in the world, but not of the world. We need to be reminded often what it means to be Catholic and to be called. Called by God to be his voice, to be his eyes, to be his arms, his hands, to spread his word, to be his heart and share his love and compassion. We've been called to be lights shining in this world of darkness, to be the very salt of the earth. We need to be reminded, and we need to live that calling every day. My brothers and sisters, it is true that we go through life only once, and we should make the very best of the time that has been given to us. Perhaps you have heard the saying, we make a living from what we receive, but we make a life from what we give. The only way any of us will truly live a life worth living is if we give that life back to God by serving him in all that we do. You see, if we answer that call, in the end we will find that we gave up nothing and we received everything. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.